Hello, welcome to the second episode of High Ideas. I'm Amari Indigo.
I'm Sharmosa.
I'm DY.
Oh yeah, we got ourselves a special guest here today.
The cat just knocked whatever was on his bag.
Oh, random just knocked the weed over. Oh, there we go. At least I found it again.
Yeah, because you got shag carpet.
Yeah.
Because we're stereotypical here.
All right, so, let's see. It's going to be 4:20 in London in a couple of seconds here, so as soon as the clock strikes, we're going to strike up greens, and I guess
cheers,
we'll start
mate.
Over here.
Yeah, cheers, cheerio.
Yeah, cheerio.
Pip, pip.
Puff, puff, and pass. All right, here you go. You want to start the greens?
You, me? You?
Okay, well, fine, I'll do it.
Do it.
Fuck it. I haven't done it yet.
Do it. I mean, do it.
So yeah, if you were here last time, you remember basic premise of this show is that we just chill, smoke, and we just get high together and what do? Oh, we have ideas.
Yes, we do have ideas.
Sometimes we have ideas.
That was good, mate. That was tops.
Yeah, actually, I got this from my my Uncle Polly. So, he's Scottish.
Okay.
Cheers.
So, this is some
Scottish swag. It's 420 in Scotland, too, isn't
swag.
It?
Yeah, I guess it would be 420 in Scotland right now, too. So, that's cool.
Shout out to our UK stoners.
Shout out to our UK stoners. Yes, exactly. That's good. I forgot to tell you that where you are, if you are in London, it would be the 30th of September, but it's not yet midnight here. It's 10:21 p.m. in New Orleans, September 29th. I don't know why I like to tell you this, because we're going to be putting these up way later
but
than
just in
we
case,
actually record them.
Just
but.
In case people are like, why didn't you discuss that crazy thing that happened?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
These
are probably
going to
be like 2 weeks behind.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 week behind. Depends on when. We haven't set our release schedule yet. We're going to try to catch up so that, you know, it's like maybe a couple days before so we can talk about Halloween when Halloween's coming up, which is, you know, coming up in a month.
Man, we could talk about Halloween right now. I could talk about Halloween
every episode until Halloween.
I start thinking about Halloween in like August, if not earlier.
Agreed. I mean, I always be thinking about Halloween, but not necessarily like actually making a costume because I'm really terrible at that kind of stuff. But you saw I got the flicker light. I'm gonna put that outside on my porch so it looks like fire lamplight or something.
Awesome.
We should have a pumpkin carving episode.
That sounds good.
Where we get high and carve pumpkins.
Sip wine.
And sip on some wine. Yeah. That sounds nice. All right. So, anybody have anything interesting happening this week? Well, as per usual, we went skating.
Yeah, we just got back from skating.
Before we record.
I drove 9 hours.
For fun?
For work.
I drive for a living.
Are you a truck driver?
No.
What do you drive?
A Tahoe. A new Tahoe.
But, like...
For Sprint.
Oh.
Are we allowed to talk about this on air?
No.
We probably shouldn't necessarily talk about this. I would just like to state that DY did not partake in smoking the weed with us. So, for the record, he can still keep his job, okay? There we go. sorry. Yeah.
Also, DY is probably a hard way to look up a person.
Could be.
Never know.
You never know. But yeah, they were shooting a music video at the park today. Just like suddenly, it was just empty. It was just me and Sharmosa skating around in circles, having a grand old time. Next thing you know, two motorcycles.
Yeah, we heard
start
them.
Start blazing around, you know, in a square around the entire park, and I'm like, tiny penis. Did you hear me say that?
Yeah, you said it pretty loudly, which I was amused by.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that the other people that were coming for the music video, so they actually knew the guys on the motorcycles, and they must have heard me say that. That's kind of funny.
Why did you say that?
What made me say it? Because
of how loud they were. Because they were doing that thing where they...
Yeah, they were really, really loud.
They burn rubber on the tires, and then when they let go, they shoot off sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, dickhead racing.
Right. And, like, I hung out with Uncle Polly last night, who I haven't seen in a while, and somebody did that with a motorcycle. And Uncle Polly rides a motorcycle, too. And he understands more about them, and he's like, there's no reason to have those things on there that make them louder. He's like, the only reason that they do that is because they have a tiny penis. So that's why I said it when I heard them being really loud.
I mean, on a busy highway...
Overcompensating for something.
On a busy highway, sure, maybe it might help you to have people hear you a little bit easier, but not in a neighborhood next to a basketball court. They were just doing it because, you know, they were like, ooh, look at me and my cool motorcycle.
Yeah, just like the guy
and they
who...
weren't even really cool motorcycles, I didn't think, anyway.
Yeah. But, so after they shot, like, the scenes of the music video that they were shooting, they got into a circle and started... It sounded like they were legitimately fighting before they had a rap battle.
Before we get into the rap battle. When the people went from, like, 5 to 10 to 20 to 30 to, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they started growing because there was just
no idea. So the numbers
started
growing. So I skated over there. Amari followed me. And I talked to the guy holding the camera. And I said, hey, what's going on? You know, just casual chit-chat. And he's like, we're filming a music video. You want to be in a music video? And I'm like, well, we're skating. Do you want skating in your music video? He's like... It might be too hardcore for that. And I'm like, oh, really? What's the song about? And he said it was called Load 'Em Up, right? Or
something like that.
Something with the word load in it.
Something like load it up or load 'em up.
It had loaded or...
Who the hell knows what it was.
It had a load in it. And I'm pretty sure they were talking about guns.
Yeah, it sounded like guns.
Taking the load?
No.
No, that's like taking a shit or something. Or taking a load off is kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot not to touch the table. Whoops.
But it was more like, yeah.
It was an interesting experience, as most things are.
Yeah, so they said that, and I'm like, okay. Well, we'll stay out of the frame. And then you roll up, and you've got your music playing from your phone.
Oh, yeah.
In lieu of a boombox. We don't have an official... our numbers are growing. We're going to be three.
Yeah. Our numbers will hopefully be increasing to three as of
week. But as our numbers increase, we're going to carry around a boombox when we skate. But for now, Amari just had her phone that she was holding in practice of a boombox over her shoulder.
You know what I should get? One of those boombox backpacks, so that way I wear the backpack, and then it also has speakers on it.
Yes.
Because anything lobsided is going to...
I have one.
You serious?
I have
You see this? All right, I'll take it.
So
we're so official. We're getting... This is going to be
Are you going to be part of our skate team? You can be, like, our
mascot.
Yeah.
But you have to dress up like an assassin.
Yeah.
I am a ninja, by the way.
Oh, yeah, so we were shooting the shit on the way home and kind of thought that we might be naming our skate team, like, Assassin Skate Squad or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're still mulling it over.
Yeah, that was just... One thing just thrown out there without any thought. So callers, call in.
Yeah,
vote for the name of our skate team.
Yeah, we'll take suggestions or votes. I guess we'll have to put it to a vote at the end there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah. So anyway, so Amari rolls up with her music playing. He's like, "Oh, and y'all are listening to classical music too? Nah, this isn't gonna go with our music video." So they basically asked, "Hey, do you want to be in a music video?" And then said, "Wait, no. You can't be in our music video."
I was listening to Der Club of Gore, which, I mean, I had my music all, like, on shuffle or whatever anyway, but I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, that he called it classical.
I wouldn't call it classical necessarily, but I can see how you might make that assumption, I guess.
Yeah. So we watched it. It was pretty entertaining. They were just rapping in front of a basketball hoop.
Yeah, they were rapping on a basketball court next to two motorcycles in front of a basketball net or whatever.
Yeah, the hoop.
And then they had, like, a belt that was, like, a world championship, like, wrestling belt replica.
Wow.
Yeah, he was holding it up during the thing. And actually, the two girls were sitting behind us on the bench that knew them, or I guess, or something, and they were making fun of them the whole time. It was great.
It was great. The ladies behind us were great. And then they kept calling him bitches. They're like, bitches ain't shit, and all sorts of stuff. The girls behind us were awesome.
They knew all the guys there,
and they were picking on all the guys there next to their motorcycles.
One of the ladies actually called me over and asked me if we come there to skate, to exercise all the time or whatever, something like that. And we're like, yeah, we're trying to start a weekly thing. This is our second week doing this or whatever. And I asked her if she skated, and she said she roller skated, but she needs some new roller skates because her son stole her roller skates from her.
Now she can't find them. And I'm like, what? Oh,
on my way coming here, a lady car got stolen.
What?
Yeah. I went stopped at the gas station to get air in the tires, to put air in my tire, and my front tire was going low. And when I was pumping it, I overheard her, like, well, my car, y'all stole my car. And she actually had a big knife. Like, scared me. And she had a baby, and she flattened some kid bike. Like, yo, get my car here ASAP.
Wait, like, she, like, wow. Cut someone's bike tires? Like, a motorcycle?
No, not a motorcycle. Bicycle. Regular pedal bike.
With a big-ass knife holding a baby.
Holding a baby. How crazy is that?
And that was today?
Today, before I came here.
That just makes me think, like, fierce mother bear or something. That's what that makes
me
think.
Yeah, but who stole that woman's car and why? I want to know the story behind that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people just don't... I don't know, man. I have had so much shit stolen from me since I've lived in this city.
I had a car stolen once, actually.
So did I, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Another thing we have in common.
What was your car stolen story?
Oh, well, my car stolen story is kind of funny.
Okay, so is mine. That's all I asked you.
It might not be as funny as yours.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah? Okay, yeah, well, so what happened with me was I had just spent, like, $1,600 getting my car fixed. Money I didn't really want to spend, mind you.
Well, no one wants to spend money on their car.
Fuck no. But it was, like, basically what I had paid for the car, almost.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, me being the lead foot that I am... I'm coming home one night from my friend's house in Coral Gables, and this is in Florida, and I'm driving up I-95 to go to my parents' house in Cooper City or wherever, and it's like an hour drive, and I'm going really fucking fast because it's like 3-4 in the morning. I hit like 120, which is where my... thing bottoms out, mm-hmm. and then I just hear like just my engine just seize or something. I don't know. It felt like it just stopped and the car kept going, so I just like, fuck, but I couldn't, like, nothing was happening. Like, I'm pressing the gas and nothing's happening. So I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe this. I just got this car fixed and I just fucked this car up so hard.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I guess I'll just coast as far as I can. Look around me, like, nobody's on the highway or anything. So I pull over underneath, like, 103rd Street sign off the highway. Like, I'm still on the highway, but on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I call my friend whose house I just left. I'm like, I think my car needs oil or something. I don't know, dude. It's fucked. Like, I'm on the side of the road. This is where I am. So I told him, and he's like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to go buy stuff and bring it to you. So he's doing that. Meanwhile, I'm waiting there. The Florida DOT guys, like two guys in a car, come stop by and say, like, what's going on? Whatever. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope. And I tell them this story of how I just spent all this money on fixing my car, and I was trying to save money to go to Jamaica and all this stuff, and come to find out one of the guys is Jamaican. And he's like, listen, just get all of your stuff out of your car tonight and go, like, by then my friend had showed up, and go with your friend. Because we tried to put the oil, nothing was, like, it wasn't turning over or anything. So I leave and go to my friend's. Then, I couldn't go that day or whatever because I was still in school, but I got a ride by my other friend to go and look for the car, and it wasn't there. And he's like, are you sure this is where you left it? I'm like, yeah. Because, like, we would have had to go get the rest of my stuff and get it towed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Like, I wasn't really looking forward to, like, spending all the money I was going to have to do to get it fixed. Because I just had spent money that I didn't have.
Yeah.
but it wasn't there. And so he drove up and up that side of the highway again, further exits, still it wasn't there. So we had to go file a police report. But to be honest, I think that the Jamaican guy, like, because we had the Jamaican connection, you know, being that my family is from Jamaica, that he arranged for the car to get stolen so that I could get the insurance money.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a crazy theory that I have, but it seems like...
Yeah.
Because I got insurance money from it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because my car got stolen, but, like, yeah... I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Then again, it was a Honda, so, like, people steal those things, even if they're broken.
Go to Amari, cat.
Random is here today. Random, the adventure cat.
Is there any other type of cat?
It's a great question.
They all have adventures, right?
I'm pretty sure.
I assume when you're not around, they're having adventures, at least.
Yeah, they seem to at least either have adventures or... take really long naps.
And they have dream adventures then. So I had my car stolen too.
So let's hear your car thieving story.
It's kind of weird because I don't think anyone that I met stole my car. Like, you met the guy you think stole your car.
Well, I don't know if he stole it himself because he works for the Department of Transportation, but I think he could have arranged it, you know?
No, I hear you. But it's weird because I think mine was stolen for... a reason too, like the fates sort of stole it from me to try and do me a favor, but I don't think it was a person I met. So what happened was I hadn't had a car, and I was in New Jersey, right? You kind of need a car in New Jersey, but I didn't have. The cat just went boop.
She pawed you. She was like, "It's gonna be okay."
Yeah, so I booped her back. I'm like, "Cat." So I had had no car the entire time that I was living there. It'd been about 2 years that I was getting around by public transit and all that. And then I finally broke down and got a car. My boss was pressuring me to get a car, you know, and I did it. I caved. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a car. And I didn't want to buy one outright because I had no money saved. And, by financing it, I'd probably get a better car because I also didn't want to get a car that was going to break down all the time that I was going to have to spend thousands of dollars fixing. You know, I'd rather buy like a $8,000 car instead of a $1,000 car and not have to put $7,000 in repairs.
Yeah, totally.
Over time, you know? So have that's going to last for a long time. So I did that. So I was financing the car. And 3 weeks after I got my car... I dinged it when Tamara was visiting. My best friend was visiting me in New Jersey, and we drove it when we shouldn't have. Let's just leave it at that. Drove it when we shouldn't have. And I cracked my light, right? So I have to get my light fixed. So I take it the next day to the only place that was open on Sunday, which was Pep Boys. And they don't fix lights. So they said, it's okay. Tomorrow when you're at work, your insurance company is just going to come here and tow it to a mechanic that will fix the light. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I give Pep Boys my keys, and I call the insurance company. They talk to me. They talk to Pep Boys, and everything's cool. And then the next day when I'm at work, I get a call from my insurance company saying, hey, we're at the Pep Boys. Where's your car? And I'm like, well, it should be in the lot, right? And they're like, well, we don't see it anywhere. And I'm like, okay. Well, keep looking. Maybe you just missed it. So they call me back, and I was in the middle of work, so I had to, like, go and then keep working, right? And then I get a call back a couple hours later. They're like, yeah, we still can't find it. I think... it must have been stolen. And I'm like, who would steal a busted car? Like, you know, and who would steal my car? It was a, like, 2008 Toyota Camry, I think is what it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know because I only had it for 3 fucking weeks. So 3 weeks after I bought this damn car, they're like, well, you got to file a police report and then we'll go from there. If it's just misplaced, then it's fine. But you have to, at this point, I advise you to... Violet is stolen. And so I had to actually physically go to the police department. You can't call in the police reports. You have to actually
talk to the same officer.
So I talked to an officer, and the officer is named Officer Patel. He's probably in his, he is definitely in his 20s still. And he was hot as hell. I got, like, the hot cop to help me. And it was really cool. I'm just like, oh, my God, a hot cop. Okay. Because I've never been attracted to a police officer before. Because I don't really, you know.
Yeah.
Police officer.
Fuck the police.
Right?
I mean, that's how I feel anyway.
But he was so
but
chill.
But, like, then you were like, I would cool. fuck him.
He's, yeah, I would. Fuck the police, the porno.
Oh, shit. That's an idea right there.
That's a porno we're going to make. Fuck the police.
That's funny.
So I get hot cop, and he's awesome, and he's really cool, and he's like, well, let's go down there together. Come on, follow me. And so we go to the Pet Boys, and he's talking to everybody, and I'm there just, like, kind of, like, tagging along. And we watch the security video, and we're watching the security video, like, fast-forwarding, trying to find where my car is. And when it got stolen, so they can, like, get all the stuff on the security cam. So I'm watching this with hot Officer Patel and the person who works at Pet Boys. And you see this white guy in shorts and a t-shirt and, like, a hat over his face come in, leave, get in my car, and just sit in it for a while, and then just drive off. And then it's gone. And this was at 11 in the morning. On, like, a Monday, he got in my car and just walked into the shop, walked out, got in my car, and drove off. And I'm just like, what?
I wonder if he pretended to be somebody from the insurance company or something.
No, because the insurance company would have come with a tow truck because they were going to tow it.
Oh, true.
Because
So he just stole your keys from them.
They left my keys in the car because they wanted to leave it there for the tow people to show up. They didn't want to have to, like...
How the hell did he know that it was there?
I don't know. Maybe he was a professional car thief. He just looked like a frumpy, middle-aged white guy. But he stole my car, and it was missing for more than 30 days. So the insurance company was mailing me, like, checks, and they ended my finance, because I was financing the car, so they ended that with a bank. So that made my credit score go up, like, really high.
Nice.
Because when your car's stolen and your insurance pays it off to the bank or you know, whatever it is that they do, it makes it look like you made every payment on time on your car payments when you finance a car, which is really good for your credit. So when they stole my car, it was, like, really great for me. I'm like, oh, my credit's amazing. So I qualify for everything.
That's awesome.
And so they stole my car. The insurance company paid off the bank, and my credit score went up. They sent me money, but they really weren't... I really didn't get, like, money so much from this car stealing fiasco. It was mostly just good credit.
Yeah.
And a hot cop. That's what I got.
And a stolen car.
And then after the 30 days and everything was resolved, because they have to wait 30 days before they finish everything. So after 30 days and... like, the next couple days, they find it, right after the 30-day mark, and they find it.
Holy shit.
And they find it across the street from the Pet Boys in a Wendy's parking lot, just completely, you know...
gutted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, do you want to keep it, or do you want to scrap it? And I'm like, scrap that motherfucker. Is that even really a question?
Are they going to charge you for scrapping it, though?
No.
Scrapping. I don't even know how that works.
So they scrap it, and I'm just like, wow. That sort of got me out of... I don't think I was meant to have that car, and I don't think I was meant to have that responsibility tied to me at that time, because I didn't really need one except for my job, and right after my car got stolen, maybe 2 weeks later, I quit that job. And then I didn't need a car.
Yeah.
Because I live so close to the train, and nothing I did at that point required driving so much. So it was like it happened, and then I'm like, fuck, why is this happening to me? My car is stolen. This is all crazy. And then a couple weeks later, I quit that job, and I'm just like, oh.
I love life.
This went. I don't have to worry about this car or the car payments or all the responsibilities that go with owning a car. And I could easily get another one because if they credit check me, they're going to be like, oh, you made all your car payments on the last car you did, like, a couple months ago. So, yeah, that was my... It was a guardian angel. And my guardian angel is just a fat, middle-aged white guy in shorts.
Oh, man. That's so funny. But we both look at it in a similar fashion, it seems.
Yeah, you
like
thought someone was looking out for you and wanted you to do you a favor by your stealing your car.
Yeah, because I got the insurance money, and then I flew to Jamaica and everything. Like, I stayed there for several months.
Nice.
On the insurance
you
money.
You had a little Jamaican, like, like, angel, guardian angel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I had some just, like, Jersey dude.
Yeah. At least your credit got a boost. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, I'm going to start packing the second bowl. Are we going to do a idea from the memo today?
Oh, shit.
We had one from me last week, so I think we should get one from you this week. I know that's kind of rough because you were just talking for a while telling that story. So if you want to take a minute before we start get into that, I can.
Do you want to hear from our special guest?
Yeah, DY. You want to tell the people what's good?
What's up?
So we were just shooting a music video for you, huh?
Superstar Suicide.
Superstar Suicide. Video. I'll probably you want me to play a clip of that song for them. I'll play a clip for you guys.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's have a listen.
Yeah, did what I'm talking about. Fame.
They ain't see it coming.
D.Y., Miles Felix on the track, though. Now I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm a fiend for the dream. Models and bottles, all the trees and the cream. Love overrated, cash underhanded. Dudes overpaid, so don't ignore the rage. Money bags, marble floors, and heartbreak. I pray the valley of greed, never my walkway. Nah, cause I remember when I had nothing. It's superstar suicide till the last supper.
Yeah, it's good until it turns sour. I heard it through the grapevine. Work all day, never heard of break time. Hey, slime, I'm getting to the point. I gotta take my top position. Optimistic, got me shitting on the competition. You can read it in my composition. You see the vision. Too blessed to be stressed. No regrets, so I can't be depressed. You can hear it in my soul. That's the truth be told. No time for these groupie hoes. That's the doobie roll. People turn to X like a movie roll. Man, you can cut the credits. I'm here to pass a message in the fastest second. So past progression, since an adolescent, master my profession. Yeah, you can sense it in the vibe. Famous stranger, walk the hook alive.
Yeah, I'm a fiend for the dream. Models and bottles, all the trees and the cream. Love overrated, cash underhanded. Dudes overpaid, so don't ignore the rage. Money bags, marble floors, and heartbreak. I pray the valley of greed, never my walkway. Nah, cause I remember when I had nothing. And superstar suicide till the last supper. I'm crazy like the third floor. My autograph worth more cause I hurt more. I'm just a player with a dream and a knot, with a Bible and a Glock, but on suicide watch. 100,000 souls like who am I not? Fame cost to be brainwashed, so I remain lost. Me and my guardians party with demons in disguise. Hide sane and reveal pain. Yeah, and I swear I'll never follow the trend. My childhood got me wanting to see my mama again. Ow, my seatbelt is off and I'm a speed roller. I hope I wake up on top when the dream over. Take a hit of the power, the spotlight is ours. Make the world flesh numb like the higher powder. I can never say I'm not gonna change, cause I'm no longer in control. Hydroplane, yeah. I'm a fiend for the dream. Models and bottles, all the trees and the cream. Love overrated, cash underhanded. Dudes overpaid, so don't ignore the rage. Money bags, marble floors, and heartbreak. I pray the valley of greed, never my walkway. Nah, cause
I remember when I had nothing. And superstar suicide till the last supper.
Hello, rappers. We some musicians and the music we make. Paint vivid pictures, audio transition. I'm just spitting what I'm living in. High definition, smoking on science. Now I'm feeling like a chemist. Amy Winehouse, rest in peace, but I'ma kill it. The Lord is my witness. The devil on my shoulder, like he trying to get in me. Keep my enemies close. Stab you in your back, man. They'll cut your throat. They'll cut your throat. Yeah, as I put it in the limelight. Flow crazy like I can't get my mind right. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Right at this moment, I can hear you in the wind. Dust the reaper off. Yeah, I keep a cross. And they gon' feel this even if the speaker's off. The speaker's off. Even if the speaker's off.
Yeah, I'm a fiend for the dream. Models and bottles, all the trees and the cream. Love overrated, cash underhanded. Dudes overpaid, so don't ignore the rage. Money bags, marble floors, and heartbreak. I pray the valley agreed, never my walkway. Nah, cause I remember when I had nothing. The superstar suicide till the last supper.
All right, and we're back. So yeah, that was Superstar Suicide.
Yep.
So you want to talk a little bit about what the inspired that song? Yeah,
man,
sure.
Man, I just got the beat from the producer, Miles Felix. It was around like close to Halloween time. So it was kind of on the dark side. I called up one of my friends, Famous Stranger, featured him on it. And there you go, man. We created it. It came out pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good. And I'm really excited to be working on the music video with you.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited to, I guess we'll link you to that in one of the future episodes when it's
Apple
completed.
Music.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can find, so can we use your full name, obviously, so people can find you?
Damon Young.
All right. That's Damon Young, and you can find him on Spotify, Apple Music.
Pandora.
And Pandora. Probably other things, too, right?
Tidal. Google Damon Young, everything come up.
Just Google him. That's it. That's all you got to do. All right. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad that you could be here with us today.
For this Benadryl.
Oh, yeah, you had some Benadryl, so you're feeling a little drowsy. That's why he might not be as vocal, but it's okay. Me and Charmosa got this. We're gonna hit the second bowl, and we're gonna get into ideas from the memo pad.
Turn up.
Shut up and sit down.
Had to take a little quick break. DY had to hit the road. He was getting too tired, and he didn't think he was gonna make it. Yeah, he was pretty quiet. I don't usually see him that quiet.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he's a rapper, so you know.
He was pensful. He was full of pens.
He was full of pens.
On the subject of London, he had that London quiet thing going on.
Get the London look. yeah. Wow. I don't know how he got onto that, but I'm liking when it's coming. Oh, man. So I didn't actually write any ideas down on my memo pad this week, I don't think.
I don't have any new ones. Well, I do, but I posted it online. It's very ranty.
Fair enough.
So... It was about a current event, though. Should we get into it, just because?
Sure, why not?
It's, like, kind of heavy, but it's
wherever,
not...
Wherever you want to go with this.
It's not too heavy. So there's this magazine, I guess newspaper-y magazine,
mm-hmm.
in New Orleans called Gambit. And it's, like, a weekly thing. And for the week of I can't remember if it was 22nd or 25th. I don't know why those are the two dates that they could be, but it was one or the other.
Fair enough.
And it was an article about raising the age of consent to strip in New Orleans from 18 to 21. And so the article goes on, and it has, of course, the guy, because of course it's a man, who proposed that law. And then it actually got passed. The guy's name is Jim Kelly. And his logic was, if you have to be 21 to drink, you have to be 21 to drink and take your clothes off. And they passed it. And no one's been honoring it, apparently, because it was passed, says 25 years ago, but just no one's been enforcing it. So now Jim Kelly realized it wasn't being enforced after a murder case involving a dancer. And so he returned and said, hey, you got to enforce this rule. This 19-year-old's killed. They're supposed to be at least 21. I want to read about 21-year-olds getting killed in the paper, not 19-year-olds. Jim Kelly said. I made that part up. He didn't say that. But they talked to strippers, and the strippers were not in agreement with Jim Kelly. Surprise, surprise. They're like, no, 18 is old enough to make our own decisions. We're legal adults. If people at the age of 18 can do this, do that, do everything else, they should be able to choose going into stripping or any type of sex work, really. It should be fine for a woman to do because it's her body, and 18 is a legal adult. So that was the news article. So I wrote a really long rant. I noticed something. It was really early. This isn't a high idea. This was like a first thing in the morning, and I was reading the paper in the morning, drinking coffee, sort of idea, ranty thing. But I was realizing that when you think about laws that are meant to protect vulnerable members of the community. So the Jim Kelly obviously frames it as, well, these girls shouldn't be doing that. They're still too young. It should be at least 21. And other people who supported that and obviously passed that law have that mentality of, well, it's for the girls' best interest. They're doing it really from a good place. They're just concerned about these girls, right? So I was just drawing the parallel how I noticed that when it comes, this only happens specifically when it has to do with women and sex. Because if you think about the laws that were passed to protect black people during the civil rights movement, it wasn't done by white people saying, okay, this is for you guys, this is in your best interest that we give you equal rights. And the black people were like, no, leave us alone. Don't give us rights. That would never have happened. It was the black people who wanted civil rights. They were like, give us equal rights. We are people. And, you know, it wasn't like, no, we're good. Just leave us at the back of the bus. Leave us alone back here. They're not saying that. When gay people just recently in this country got the right to marry each other, it wasn't because straight people were enforcing that law, like, you guys need to get married. And the gay people were like, whoa, hold up, straight people. Like, let us do our thing the gay way. Like, we don't need that marriage thing. It didn't happen. It was gay people fighting for marriage and straight people too with them. But if you ask most gay people, like, oh, how do you feel about the law? They wouldn't be like, I think it's really disrespectful to gay people to give us equal rights. Oh my God. It would never happen. When women got women's suffrage, they got the right to vote. It was women who rallied for the right to vote. It wasn't men saying, this is what's best for you, sweetie. And the women are like, oh, no, like, it's fine. We'll just stay in the kitchen over here. No, it was the women who did it. So that's never happened in the case of sex work. If you talk to any sex worker, whether it be a stripper, an actress in pornography films, an escort, anything like that, you ask them and they say, no, let us do this work. It should be legal. Sex work is work. This is my choice, my body. You can't tell me what to do with it. It's never really like, oh, thanks for that law that makes it harder for me to make a living and can possibly get me arrested. Thank you so much for that. That never happens. So Jim Kelly is one of, in a long, long line of men who impose laws on young women's bodies. They would let an 18-year-old woman enlist in the military and die in a war and use her body for terrorizing other countries, killing people, and defending our freedom, but he won't give her the freedom to dance on a stripper pole if she wants. So they won't let women have the autonomy to use their body for sexual empowerment and profit, and using it for profit. People fear female sexuality, and especially young female sexuality. When we see Dr. Ruth, if you guys remember Dr. Ruth on TV, she was the old lady that would have dildos and talk about sexy stuff, and it was really funny to see Dr. Ruth. Or like Blanche from the Golden Girls, she was like the slutty golden girl, you know. But when we see those characters, the old ladies who have, you know, are any sexual, it's humor. It's I said innocutized, which isn't a word, but it's like, it's not what the vast majority of males are attracted to in the country. Just Squizgar Squiggle from Metalocalypse really likes old ladies and people like that. But most men are attracted to young women. Evolutionarily, it makes sense. That's when we're fertile. So why are we not allowed to be the most sexual when we're biologically and culturally the most sexual? 18 is not too young to strip. 18-year-olds have the right to start their adult lives however they choose, and for many, going to college isn't what they want to do, or it's not easy to afford. Stripping through college is a thing, and stripping just for work is a thing, too. The dangerous environment that well-meaning but woefully uninformed lawmakers and parents are afraid of are not so different than other work environments. A friend of mine who was a dancer was taken out by regular customers. She was made really drunk. She was probably drugged. And then she was raped and left. And she was a dancer, right? An erotic dancer, exotic dancer, whatever they call them. So when I was working in a suit and tie, get dressed up, business professional environment, a coworker I'd known for a year came over one night when me and my friend were really, really drunk, and we drunk dialed everybody in each other's phones except our parents. So we drunk dialed everyone in our phones, literally, and we're just being assholes. And then we passed out. After we passed out, this coworker that I'd known for a year, who obviously knew that we were drunk because we said we were drunk when we drunk dialed him, came over when I was unconscious, left before I woke up. And so there's a lot of dangerous environments in regular work environments as well as sexual work environments. And as far as drug users, obviously, there's the assumption that a lot of people in, you know, stripping or sex work are doing a lot of drugs. But in the business professional world, you see a lot of people doing a lot of drugs, mostly cocaine. Women are never really safe, no matter what their work environment. It doesn't matter what occupation they choose. The threat of being introduced to things like rape and drugs are across the board in any job, which is an issue, and it's one that's really difficult to solve. And what's also an issue for women's right is the rights to choose being eliminated. And when I say right to choose, I'm not talking about abortion. That should be obvious. Women should be able to do that. But when I'm saying right to choose, it's what's to choose, what's in her best interest, what's right for her in every situation. She should be able to choose in any situation she's in what's best for her and not have someone else tell her what's best for her. Women used to get married just to get out of the fucking house back in the day. And I learned that just recently because Tamara sent me a book by Aziz Ansari called Modern Romance. So shout out to that book. But he did some research with interviewing older people, and the women were saying, no, I just didn't. I was so sick of my parents. I had to get married to get out of the house. So it's like we're always being parented no matter where we live. You can't really see. So everyone's our parent, whether it's our actual parents. And then as soon as we're 18, then there's people like Jim Kelly trying to say, this is what's best for you, girl. So we're always being parented as young women. But you demand to see young naked women all the time, for in all the advertisements, for in all this, everything that's sexualized anywhere that you see in this country and most countries is young women, young naked women. So to demand that, to want it so badly to see young naked women everywhere all the time and then tell a woman that she can't do that, that's like, okay, so sandwiches have been on my mind a lot, as per usual, but it's like if someone said, man, I really could go for a sandwich right now, and then a woman come up to her, whether it's the wife, his mom, his daughter, his girlfriend, his female employee or female coworker. It's like this woman hears that, oh, you really want a sandwich? Let me make it to you. Sexist stereotypes or whatever. But she brings you the sandwich and then you go, what the hell is wrong with you? You shouldn't do that. You smack her in the face and then you eat the sandwich anyway. And then you eat it. Like, can a woman get a thank you for doing sex work? It's like, you said you wanted it, here it is. And then you just smack her down and said no. And then you eat the sandwich. It's, can we get some credit for what we do when we do things like that? I'm sure if the sandwich analogy happened, like people actually were sandwich snacking people, you would think, man, that guy's an asshole. And you would confront and be like, you gotta chill out. That's crazy. Like, just appreciate the sandwich. Like, someone gave you a sandwich. Don't be a dick. And if it happened often enough that, you know, women were getting smacked every time we made sandwiches, this is such a ridiculous analogy, but if it happened often enough that someone like Jim Kelly is like, well, we should do something to stop this, I'm sure the news article would be read like this. Hey, Jim Kelly said we should stop, we should make a law where men can't smack these women in the face when they make them sandwiches. And then the female side would read, as per every other law that was passed for the good of vulnerable members of the community, when you read what the women are saying, they'd be like, yeah, totally. Thanks, Jim Kelly. Yeah, we want that. Yep, me, I'm in. I'm for that law. I'm for that law. You know, they'll be fighting for that law along with him. It wouldn't be like, no, I love it when I get hit in the face. I love being smacked around. It's amazing. Thanks for that. You know, we're good on that law. No, thank you. That's not going to happen. So, that's a really ridiculous analogy, but I hope you get what I'm saying.
Totally.
If Jim Kelly really wanted to protect women from getting sandwich smacked, you know, oh God. Anyway, so it's this idea of father knows best. It's father knows best, and that is the idea, the mentality that's keeping women down. When women, and especially women sex workers, don't pass laws on what say, when they say to people, don't pass laws on what I can do with my body, these father figures come out and say, whoa, 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 now, little dear, you know, this is what's best for you. It's, as a society, we're used to this relationship. We don't even really notice it. We don't even really notice that that's exactly what's going on is, no, no, sweetheart, like, darling, this is what's best for you. We're just so used to that misogyny that diminutizing a woman's autonomy, her ability to actually use logic and reason. People think of women as being very emotional and illogical, and they need someone there. So they're like, silly girl, don't you know that's bad for you? But no, you know, what's really bad for us as women? Being denied the same opportunities for high-paying jobs. I'm sorry, but if your options are $25,000, $30,000 a year or $200, $300 an hour, and you know that you have a limited time that you can make that money too, because we disregard older female sexuality. Like I said, it's more of a comical thing at that point to most people. You know, to cash in on that, it's, well, if we had the opportunity to be paid the same as men and not have to go through that, that would be good for us. Being denied a safe space to express sexuality, because you're really not safe, and I just want to emphasize that you're really not safe no matter what work environment you're in, if you're working around men, especially straight men. Whether it's sex work, you could be preyed upon because you're seen as sexual, but in an office, that can definitely happen as well. And it does happen every day. So you can't express your sexuality at all because then it's dangerous for you because you're the one putting it out there. Being denied a voice, being denied respect. If you really care about protecting women, if you really don't want to see women get abused, raped, then the first step is to listen to them. And young women need to speak. And I ended it with a Scissor Sisters lyric. The Scissor Sisters saying, ain't no one gonna listen if you haven't said a word. Or if you haven't made a sound, sorry. Ain't no one gonna listen if you haven't said made a sound. And that was the end of my really, really, really long ranty rant. That was based on a newspaper article. What's it been, like an hour or something?
That was awesome. Forever. It hasn't been an hour yet, but you seem like you might need to hit that right now.
I do need to hit that.
That was an amazing rant, though, I have to say. Yeah. And I fully support you on that. That was really good. And it's important for people to hear, as you said, young women speak. So there you go. That you just heard one right there. I hope you listened to what she had to say, because that was good. It's real. It's true. Shit. It really fucking sucks to be a woman in this world. I mean, in a lot of ways. I think it's weird because when I talk to a lot of guys or whatever, they're like, women are powerful, blah, blah, blah. Like, most guys I know, they think, like, women are really powerful and, like, respect them and stuff like that. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'm lucky. I've surrounded myself with good dudes.
Yeah.
But, like, I know for a fact that they are not all good dudes, because I walk down the street two blocks and I get catcalled at least once per block.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, minimum.
Yeah. Anywhere, man. It happened to me in New Jersey, too. Just anywhere you go walking around.
I think the prevalence of street harassment just shows you. Like, if men are willing to be that openly, blatantly, like, sexualizing you, walking down the street, like, think how much behind closed doors that they're doing it to people that they're close to. Like, that's why the statistics for rape, it's mostly people that you know.
Yeah, because as soon as you're alone together and they're in a position of power, if you've anyway made yourself vulnerable to them, either if it was by drinking or if you feel like you're obligated to give them something for whatever reason, then they're going to take advantage of that. Yeah. So
it's interesting, like, just male thought patterns when it comes to that kind of stuff. I really try to wrap my head around it to, like, understand how they think about things and the perspective that they have. But I think that I don't feel most men do that for women. I don't think they try to put themselves in the woman's shoes and understand what it must be like for her.
Yeah.
Most. I'm going to be like, this is like the second week in a row I said this, hashtag not all men. I don't need your angry rants. I know not all men. I'm not a fucking man hater. I understand what's going on in the world, and if you don't see that, maybe you should take a look at yourself.
Yeah. Seriously. Like,
put yourself in somebody else's shoes and try to see from their perspective what they're facing on a daily basis.
Yeah, I feel...
people that are less privileged than yourself.
I feel like I don't have time in my life for men who aren't going to be totally understanding and willing to listen to women and take them just as seriously as men. Like, I've got strong feminist male friends, and I like that. I don't have time in my life for misogyny.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it. Life's too short.
But it's so, like, misogyny is so deeply ingrained in our society that even the feminist people have misogyny in amongst their myths as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even amongst, I read an article a couple months ago on even, like, the queer community, like,
and, oh yeah, definitely. Like, there's
male of center
divisions,
people
of,
being
seen
as more, I don't know, it's very strange. But I think that's the thing about being a woman, or the fairer sex, you know, like, there's that saying, the fairer sex, meaning, like, that we get hurt easily, or that we are somehow delicate and unable to, like, cope with the daily struggles of life. When you think about it, though, like, I think about my mom, And, like, I always thought my mom is so strong, and I wished that, like, I would be as strong as she was one day, because she could just, like, she could carry so much stuff. She retiled the kitchen. She could, she could do anything. She wielded a hammer. She wielded a saw. Like, my mom did everything around the house that she needed to do, and I learned from her by watching her do that. So I knew, like, nobody can say that women are the weaker sex.
Yeah.
Like, they go through so much. And, like, also our pain tolerance, like, our barrier for pain, our threshold for pain is higher, too.
It is.
And also, if you've seen a man get, like, sick.
Oh, yeah, he's a big baby.
And you have to take care
of him. And, like, the woman will still.
But the woman is like, okay, so maybe I'll have a motherly bone in my body. Because some women don't. I, like, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I pick and choose who I will be a mother to.
Yeah.
But I do notice that in a lot of relationships, I do feel sometimes like I'm having to be like kind of like a mother or something.
I've felt like a mother before with some of my interactions with people. So it's definitely, I think, a common thing that we have. It's messed up.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I think that all that's happening is that we're just trying to have a conversation about it now and be more open and, you know, it's good. I find it, at least, like, on Facebook, I see a lot of that. Maybe it's because of the people I'm friends with.
Yeah, exactly.
I do see a lot of it, so. Yeah, I guess that's interesting because the internet allows you to be very insular with your belief systems and stuff like that.
Same as real life. Like, think about it. If you only ever hang out with the same people over and over again, you will sometimes be a little bit jarred by
being outside of
the stunning ignorance of everybody else in the world.
Yeah,
but because you've been choosy and you said, well, I'm only going to hang out with these people because they're good people. And you just filter out all the bad. As you get older, you get even better about eliminating people who don't bring you anything to your... Like, you shouldn't be friends. So, you know, let them be friends with other people that will make their life better. And you bring more positive people who are going to make your life better, right?
Yeah.
So, if you got a great little friendship community going on, then sometimes you'll be surprised when you read news stories. Like, how could this be happening? What year is it? Or if you go somewhere and you overhear people's dumbass conversations and things that they're doing, and you're just like, really?
Yeah.
You really exist? Oh, no.
It's so funny. Like, when you're talking about this, I'm having visualizations in my mind that kind of looks like a map. And instead of, like, the map being landmass, it's, like, nations based on interests and common threads, because we have the internet now, which obviously makes us a more, I mean, I know not everyone has access to the internet, but a lot of people do, and it makes it like there's like a virtual nation, and some of the nations overlap and intersect. Like, there might be like the hashtag feminist nation, but then there might be like the skater nation or like the stoner nation.
Yeah,
I use hashtag stoner nation on my Instagram sometimes too.
And they collectively they'd be known as the damn nations.
Oh yeah, that's what we were gonna do too. That was an idea that we had today.
That was an idea earlier. Because you said skate every damn day.
Oh yeah, because there's hashtag skate every damn day.
And then we're like, well, we can just skate all over the country,
all over the world,
and is skate every damn nation.
Skate every damn nation.
And then I'm like, we should dress up as like devils then.
Yeah.
We skate because they'll be damn nation.
Devil assassins now. Are we? Skate every damned nation. Yeah, we'll be like goddesses of war on skates. That's awesome. Just watch out for us. I feel like we're gonna be like, there's gonna be like comic books written about
us. We're
gonna
be roller warriors.
Yeah.
Roller warriors.
We have to have like really awesome armor. Which is good that we know somebody that does leather work and builds armor.
Yes.
So we can do that.
We can definitely do that.
Oh, this is so exciting. And you know that our third member is going to be down for that because she's a makeup artist and she does costumes for, like, her life. So for so, like her livelihood.
So Skate Every Damnation is gonna happen.
So it's it's all gonna happen. And we Damon said he would give me the backpack with the speakers in it, so
we can play satanic music, what, okay. Heavy metal.
We we'll figure it out. We can totally do some awesome stuff. Oh, it's gonna be epic. Yeah, it should be like some epic like Scandinavian metal with like full orchestras and shit. You'll
play,
you know?
Like Old Man's Child or something.
Oh, it'll
like
be
that.
So good. Yeah. Oh, you see, we're having ideas here just for you. we've been going for almost an hour now, so maybe we can wrap it up and just say our goodbyes.
Oh, well.
Oh, it was so fun to this time with y'all.
Sorry I got so real with you guys.
Yeah, but not really. Sorry, but not really sorry. If you didn't.
Yeah, but just so you know, the strippers that you're going to be seeing in New Orleans are over 21 now, apparently.
Apparently.
So.
Well, you know, that's neither here nor there at this point.
Yeah.
We'll see what's, if any, I guess if any new developments occur, we'll have to bring it up, but,
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, look for us out there, and if you want us to come to your country, just send us an email and a couple of plane tickets, and we'll be right over.
Yeah, and just as long as it's 420 where you're at.
True. Make sure to tag us, hashtag SkateEveryDamnation. You can also hashtag us at hashtag Hydeas. And just find us. I don't know. We probably should start making like a Facebook page and shit. We haven't done that yet. I don't even know where you put podcasts. Do you know where you put podcasts?
Yeah, viewers. Where did we put this podcast? Yeah, that's where you suggested we put it.
Yeah, look around. Look around. See where you are. All right. Now.
They'll tell us.
Now tell us where you are. What did we say earlier about the moon? It's getting high.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The moon got higher because it was really low and big and harvesty looking. And then it started to raise up into the sky as the night went on. And we said, oh, the moon's getting high. We should do that too. And then you said, the moon is getting further away from the earth. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that too.